What should I have said?
Was it okay for me to do that?
What was the right way to react?
Was it okay for me to step in? How do I know what was right?
It's a modern dilemma.
And for this dilemma, we're in the classroom. Sarah has written to us to say, "My daughter attends a private school and is in her final year. In one of her subjects, the teacher's daughter transferred into the class halfway through. The teacher's daughter is now achieving the highest mark in the class. The subject is drama, which I believe is assessed more subjectively than a clearly objective subject like maths or science. I raised a complaint outlining that there is not a level playing field in this class, as the teacher can plan the lessons, set the assessments, and select roles to showcase her daughter's strengths and talents. The school principal assured me that he had no concerns of bias, real or perceived, in relation to this subject." Well, thank you, Sarah. And what do you think? Should the child of a teacher be in that teacher's class? Do Sarah's concerns ring true for you? You can comment on Facebook. Or you can send a text 0418 226 576. Well, with me at Life Matters College, comedian, writer, former school teacher and mother of four, George McEncrow. Hi, George.
Hello.
And our very own Michael McKenzie, father of three.
And also part-time drama teacher to all three of my children.
No.
At primary school.
Were you actually a teacher? You
no,
were a teacher, were
no, you? No, I've taught sort of classes in improvisation and sort of theatre skills. So I was like a special teacher.
Did you get any complaints?
Only from my children.
All right. Now, George, when you were a teacher, did you teach any of your own children?
No, I didn't. But I was at a school where lots of teachers did have their children at the school. And depending on the size of the school, you just sometimes had to have your children in the class. And often, especially in a private school, it's a good advertisement to have the teacher's children at the school. Or rather, I should say, it's a bad advertisement if you've got the head of English has their own children being taught elsewhere. So it's one of the inducements a school will use, because they know that the teachers don't earn enough to send their children to the school where the teachers are working. And they will say, please come and teach at our school and your children will receive a reduced rate, reduced fees. And in this instance, I've got to say to Sarah, it's time to slip a little chill pill. Down, gobble it up. Because,
well, the damage is done. I mean, she's already withdrawn her daughter from drama class.
Yes, I didn't add that, but she does tell us that she did withdraw her daughter from the class.
So a judgment has already been made in both the eyes of the school, her daughter's eyes, and clearly her own, as to what's happened in this drama class.
Yeah, but let's take a step back, because I do want to tease out the
we
dilemma.
We know who the
as
drama
stands.
Queen is in all of this.
Now, Michael, as a parent, have you ever felt some kind of unfair bias has been directed to any of your kids at school?
Oh, clearly, because they're all gifted. See, this is the problem. People don't understand that my three children are gifted.
Yes, and George, your four children would all be gifted too,
yes.
I imagine.
So this is the problem with the gifted issue. A lot of people want their children to be gifted, but if you look at a bell curve distribution, you wouldn't want your kids to be gifted. So the outcomes for children who are gifted are identical as the children who are well below par, and the life projections are identical too. Seriously, 20 years on from school, they have the same rates of drug and alcohol abuse, imprisonment, self-harm. You know,
that's so encouraging.
It's really
so comforting.
People should really wish their kids to be
deeply average,
bang in the middle of the bell curve. So whenever somebody pushes my giftedness, I mean, we have to manage giftedness and we have to manage children who are struggling at the other end because of those possible outcomes down the track. But yeah, just really be careful about what you wish for when you push
exactly.
a gifted label on a child.
I was clearly joking, as my children will tell you. But I've never had an issue with that. I actually had my three kids go through a rural primary school. So very small population inside that school, 100 students across all the classes. And, you know, I kind of love the fact that everyone sort of just milled in together and did their thing. And in high school, I actually sometimes have said to the teachers of my kids, push them harder, because I still think they need a bit more parameter or boundary around what they're doing.
Mm. You know? Now, the interesting thing, I think, is that Sarah suggests that, you know, if it was a subject like maths or science that can be assessed objectively, I think the implication is she probably wouldn't have a problem if a teacher's child was in that class along with her own daughter. But because drama is such a subjective thing, it's much harder to avoid bias.
But it is externally assessed. So they do have to do a performance piece to external examiners. So really, I don't think that she has such an issue. I think her issue is perhaps a little bit conflated and she doesn't understand the assessment process. So part of your work is assessed internally, but part of the majority of the work is assessed externally before
examiners. Yes, I mean, you can still have an external assessment, but if you know, one child has been favoured over the others
we've yet to prove this. I mean, just because someone says, I think that's happened, doesn't mean it is. And as you say, being subjective, I mean, for all we know, the teacher's daughter may be brilliant. No one's actually taken that into account.
I mean, it is a terrifying prospect that there is someone who is better than your kid. And it's an awful thought, but it does happen in life and we all have to swallow that bitter pill. But it also is very good for the child to think that, you know, in an area such as the arts, it does come down to a bit of luck. So if you're going to embark upon a journey in film or television or anything like that, a role will go to someone and not to somebody else for no apparent reason that you will ever understand. You'll walk away from an audition and go, why did it go to her and not to me? Who knows? You know, we're the same height, we look the same, we've got the same sort of voice. And you know, you just have to learn to suck it up if you're going to survive.
Amanda Smith with you here in Life Matters, grappling with the modern dilemma that your child is disadvantaged when the teacher's child is in the same class, that the teacher will inevitably be biased in favour of their own child. Now, are you a parent who's had this experience at all? Perhaps you've seen favouritism in the classroom. Or do you think Sarah, who sent us this dilemma, is overreacting? Love to get your thoughts on Facebook, of course. And with their thoughts on the subject, comedian and former school teacher George McEnroe and Life Matters' own Michael McKenzie. George, as a former teacher, did you have parents complaining to you about anything equivalent to Sarah's concerns?
Usually a parent would come if they felt that their child was being picked on. Not normally
well, by you?
Yeah, all the time. No, sometimes if a child, usually what prompts a parent to come to a school is that they feel that a child is being really unnecessarily vilified by a teacher. And that I always would investigate very thoroughly. If they felt that a teacher was being sarcastic or cruel or humiliating a student, that warrants, you know, a big fuss to be made and a teacher to, you really got to examine that relationship because that's completely not on and it's very damaging to a child. And you know, you down tools and look at that straight away. But favoritism, I did once have an exchange. A child didn't make the debating team and a parent harassed me and harangued me about that. And I just had to say, look, I know it's awful, but there were other children who were just better than your daughter. And the look on the face, it was like I had slapped her. But I said, it would be unfair to put the less talented children out of the group to put your child in there. I know it's hurt her feelings, but there are four places and she didn't get one. The other kids were just better.
Yeah. Now, the other thing in this is that Sarah makes it clear that it's a private school that her daughter is going to. And, you know, as a parent, if you're paying big fees, don't you have a right to have an opinion about your kid's education?
Of course you have a right to have an opinion, and she certainly expressed it in the public sphere, which is why we're talking about it now. And I think she obviously made some kind of intimations about her concerns to the school executive and the principal too. And that principal, I think you read in the initial story outline there, Amanda, said that they have no reservations or fears that there's any bias going on here. And I think, you know, you're right, drama is a subjective area in some degrees of assessment. But I also think, you know, you've got to be really careful as both a parent and a teacher when you're teaching in that environment and your son or daughter's in that same class. You've got to think about it from their perspective. It can be hell on earth for them because they're getting it at home. And then they go to school with this same progeny, this same child, and they have to sort of perform in front of that child in the class. I think there's a lot of perspectives here that need to be taken into account.
Yeah. I was just thinking, what does the girl think of all this? She must just be going home and going, oh, Mum, were you shut
up
about the drama? I'm all right. It's fine.
It's okay. Or she's reported to her mother that she believes she's been unfairly judged by her teacher.
Yes.
And it's all been reinforced.
You know? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm not sure whether to send either of or both of you to the top of the class or to the corner, standing in the corner for this one. Comedian, writer and former school teacher George McEncrow, thank you for your wit and wisdom.
My pleasure.
And Life Matters own Michael McKenzie, thank you for yours too.
And I've got a few insights here from Facebook, if I can share them with you.
Do please.
Sally says, my brother, sister and myself at some stage were taught by our father. It's not a good idea. Our father was great. The trouble was what other kids thought and other teachers seemed to think, that everything we did within the school grounds should be reported to our father. Lindy says, I taught my daughter's class and had the usual weekend sleepovers, and the students got to see me chasing chickens out of the house and cooking masses of pancakes for everyone. I think it normalised teachers for students who believe the teachers go into the cupboard at the back of the classroom until the next day. She got no special treatment and had to call me Miss like everyone else, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. And I need to say also thank you, Sarah, for sharing that your modern dilemma with us. And yes, do want to hear from you too if you're experiencing a modern dilemma all of your very own. If there's a quandary that you find yourself in and you're not sure how to resolve it, an ethical curly one that we can mull over here for you, you can set it out in an email and send that to lifematters@abc.net.au or record it as a voice memo on your smartphone and email that lifematters@abc.net.au.